Call this meeting to order of the Senate Transportation Committee. Let the record reflect that it's 1:17 p.m. on Tuesday, February 16, 2016. We're in the Butcherbitch Room. Let the record show that we have a quorum to do business. Members present are Vice Chair Bishop, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Stedman, Senator Egan, and myself, Chairman Machicki. Also like to recognize our committee staff, Ann Krekelberg from Senate Records, Jessica Honlin, LAO staff, and then, of course, my trusty staff, Lynn Smith. Please turn off your cell phones. The purpose of today's meeting is Senate Bill 132, Electronic Tax Returns and Motor Fuel Tax, requested by the governor. Public testimony remained open after last week's meeting. We have the CS for Senate Bill 132, Version H, before us. At our last meeting, Department of Revenue was asked to bring us some projections at the $70 to $90 a barrel range, and we have Jerry Burnett and Dan Stickle, Assistant Chief Economists here, that can, if you can please join us at the table.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Jerry Burnett, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue. You asked for projections, and the projections we gave you include all of the revenues that are available on an annual basis for appropriation by the legislature. So it's, if you look at page 2 of the chart, you can see that looking at, say, a $70 ANS price, it shows the petroleum revenues at the top, then non-petroleum revenues, and then permanent fund earnings and other investment income, so that for FY17, our estimate is $6.2 billion and $6.1 billion of total available recurring revenue. The numbers for permanent fund earnings are total realized earnings, and from that, traditionally, the legislature has appropriated money for dividends and inflation proofing. If you look at that in another way, if you took a 5% POMV, as has been proposed in some legislation, that would be about $2.5 billion instead of $3.4 billion, and it would reduce the total bottom line by about $1 billion on each of these. But if you look up to a $100 price, you're looking at numbers and plus $8 billion, and at 85, it's $6.9 billion in 2017. I don't know how the legislature is going to balance the budget this year. It's a combination of cuts, use of savings and earnings, but I think this shows the various places where the revenues come from and what is potentially available for that purpose at the various prices.
Questions from committee members? Senator Stedman?
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think the direction of the question wasn't so much the aggregate total revenue subjected to appropriations, but the mechanics of the severance tax portion of the tax bill and the impacts that credits have, both the ones that are being carried forward in the furball credit as the oil escalates from 30 to on up to some number that we would expect the more of an impact on the state treasury, somewhere up around $80, to get in a kind of an better feel in that direction versus the aggregate non-petroleum revenue or the permanent fund impact.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, I'll let this deputy chief economist Dan Stickle speak to that. You can see from the charts here.
Sure. For the record, Dan Stickle, Assistant Chief Economist with Department of Revenue, and to Senator Stedman through the chair, if you look at the revenues that come in through the oil and gas production tax, there's a point at around $80 a barrel where for each additional dollar of value in the barrel of oil, the state takes an increasing share. And that's the point where you transition from the minimum tax gross minimum tax under the production tax to you're actually paying the progressive 35% net income tax.
Good. I know it's. I guess we'll work on this at a later date. It may be another committee, but nobody pays 35%. It's mathematically impossible. So we'll deal with that, you know, along the way. But it's nice to take a look at that deflection point between the minimum tax and when we're above the minimum tax. And then in this. Yeah, I'll just stop there.
Okay. So that we gave some room between the 80 and the 85, but it makes a substantial difference. These are your this is your estimated revenue all in at that price. And what it goes to show is if we reduce our budget as we have planned, that we would have more revenue than needed at those price ranges. And I think that's the right place to promise Alaskans that we would be returning some of this revenue. Some of the measures may not go through, including a draw, right? And that would be a very different picture. But we're talking about one individual tax, and we're hoping that some of those reductions are successful, and we're hoping that some sort of sustainable draw may be a part of that picture. So that's the reason for the price point that we picked at 85. Do we have – I have – no one has approached me with any amendments, but I do want to discuss a potential amendment that we've talked about. So the changes we've made, we removed the electronic submission because it was problematic in accordance with Ledge Legal. We'll fix that in another bill, perhaps. We added the clawback, if you will, that at $85 a barrel for one the previous calendar year that the taxes would revert to current rates. We've added two new exemptions, and those are fuels in an emergency vehicle and student transportation services. Made a few statutory cleanup changes, and then finally we sunsetted this tax on July 1st, 2018 that would have to be renewed by the legislature if the need still exists, or if we have that same philosophy at that time. But another area of interest is we'd like for Alaskans to transparently be able to sort of view this pool of revenue. If this bill passes, we have no idea if it's going anywhere, but if it does pass, where we'd have a special accounting fund by each fuel tax category, not a dedicated fund, but an accounting fund. I mean, my hope would be that transportation revenue would be directed by the legislature toward transportation infrastructure maintenance, but, of course, we can't dedicate a fund. So what would that look like? And because I'm wanting to make a conceptual amendment that follows this bill and gets crafted into this that helps Alaskans understand where those funds, what's been generated, and where those funds are going.
Mr. Chair, there are a number of revenues that have been identified and accounted for in a separate fund. For example, when the legislature last increased the alcohol tax, it created a alcohol substance abuse fund, and I'm not sure I know exactly, I might not get the name exactly right on that, where half of the alcohol tax is put in that fund, and then it's separately accounted for in the budget. Doing a similar type measure with this certainly is possible. It's a matter of changing accounting structures and identifying the money from this tax with a fund code in the budget. There are others that are done that way. They're not dedicated funds. The legislature can still appropriate that money, but it identifies that money specifically in our accounting system and in the budget documents as to its source. We currently do account for this money in a sub-accounts of the general fund, so we can certainly identify how much money has come from each of these, and I'm certain that the Department of Transportation's budget contains significantly more general fund dollars than we collect in motor fuel taxes for the purposes, but there's no technical issue with doing what you've, or legal issue with doing what you've suggested.
Is there a cost?
Chair, I don't believe that we would, we have never accounted for an additional cost in a fiscal note for setting up a new fund in the past when it was an accounting type fund. It's not going to be a separate investment fund or anything, so no, it wouldn't necessarily show a cost.
Okay. I would, Mr. Coe, or could you consider a conceptual amendment that identifies a separate fund identifying these funds separately by fuel source that is not dedicated, and I think that's adequate enough for the record.
Brief at ease.
We are back on, we left public testimony open specifically. You've seen, we had a couple of folks that testified last time. You have the letters of support. You have the two letters of opposition. Is there anyone in the room that cares to testify on this bill? CS for Senate Bill 132, Version H. Seeing no one, is there anyone online? Okay, public testimony is closed. Do you have a conceptual amendment, Mr. Vice Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce a proposed conceptual amendment, a special accounting fund for the motor fuel tax, we'd like the department to identify it by fuel source, a separate fund identifying these funds effectively, and not to be dedicated, with emphasis, not to be a dedicated fund.
Okay. Do we have any objection? Hearing none, that conceptual amendment is adopted. Any other motions, Mr. Vice Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move we pass, we move CS for SB 132 from committee with individual recommendations as amended and accompanying physical notes.
Objection?
Brief ease.
We won't need a new physical note.
Back on. We have a motion before us. Any objection?
I object, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Sure. Want me to speak to the objection?
Sure.
I'm I think we need to take a vote on the vote or vote on the bill. Obviously, I think it's been a good process to vet the bill. I just think it's premature at this time for taxes. To be honest with you, it's going to raise, I think, approximately $46 million. It was the original anticipated revenue. Almost daily in our office, and I'm on finance, we are looking at and finding more and more areas that pockets of money. And so I think from my perspective, we need to spend another year doing a little due diligence on these funds in the various departments and divisions. And I think when we really feel that we've gotten to the point that those pots of money have been discovered, scrutinized, and potentially used to cover this hole, I personally would then feel more comfortable having a serious conversation about revenue measures. And I understand that folks have a different opinion, but there's not a day, I think, that goes by that my staff, myself, we see things that hadn't had to been unpackaged in years, even decades. And I think it's I think if we default too quickly to revenue measures, we'll never get to the bottom of some of these funds and some of these things that we spend money on. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak to that.
Thank you. Let's call just to Senator Stedman, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm also not going to support this bill. I think when we look at the situation, $40-50 million is a big chunk of change. It may be sometime in the future, and it may be the near future, where I feel it's appropriate to support it. But there's other areas within our tax structure that need significant amount of work that pale in comparison to the revenue that this is going to generate. So I'm a little concerned about how we fix the hole and how that mosaic looks, and the hole being $3.5, $4 billion, pick your number, your every day of oil prices.
Other comments? Senator Egan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, I'm going to reluctantly support it because I want it out of this committee and into the Finance Committee, where it can be tackled to a greater degree. And I have three of my colleagues that are on Finance that have received knowledge, presentations from DOT and others. So I would just, I will reluctantly support the bill, but we'll probably sign amend.
Senator Bishop?
Thank you. I'm going to be supporting the bill. I made all my opening statements why I supported the bill when we first introduced it. They haven't changed a bit. Each one of us represents a unique and different part of Alaska. We can make our arguments pro or con. I've made my pro arguments, but I'm going to be a yes vote on this bill. Thank you.
So to clarify from my standpoint is explaining to the public how the process works, I don't know whether or not I'm supporting the bill. I'm moving the bill to the next committee. What transportation does is reviews the effect on transportation. We've done that. We've put some provisions in that helps make the statement from transportation's eyeglasses, if you will, that we are moving it to the next committee, but we've added some provisions. We have made the taxes revert to current rates when it goes beyond where I feel transportation should be contributing. At that level, we've added two new fuel tax exemptions, and we sunset the bill in 2 years so that we can review it if it does pass the legislature, that we will review it. We've also provided an amendment that allows for a special accounting fund so that Alaskans can transparently see where those funds are coming from and what the total of those funds are, so that they understand that hopefully we can direct them toward transportation infrastructure. What we're voting for today is to move it to the next committee. We're not passing the bill. And the next committee is where we will review the financial details of the effects on Alaskans. So I'm supporting it moving to the next committee, not necessarily supporting the passage of the bill. So with that, can you call for a vote, please?
Senator Egan?
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Senator Dunleavy?
No.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Chairman Kiki?
Yes. Thank you. If you can all stick around to sign the transmittal documents. We are adjourned at 1:37.